I will say that it is definitely a relief looking back that the celebratory interception to end that Super Bowl was Porter. Because yes. It would be a lot harder for that to be a replay you show forever if it were someone else in our secondary.
Yes. That's the front page. Well, absolutely. Our newspaper front page for that day, everybody has it framed in their house, is Tracy Porter. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, all I was going to say is...
That's like the Pope photos in parts of Brooklyn.
Yeah, I can see that.
Howdy, Saints fans. It's Texas Week. Sorry for the delay. I had a busy week, so this took forever to edit. Plus, I had no time to get the sound engineered, so please be kind. Also, between recording and uploading, the Saints managed to lose another game, which really casts an extra pall on our already beleaguered tone. On the other hand, our guest, who's upset about the Astros going down 0-2, is now happily back to even against the Texas Rangers, a team I didn't know until this recording had bone-deep haters. Ron and I will get the Jags episode recorded soon, depressingly enough. But for now, let's talk Texans.
I do not know if you have listened to any of the earlier episodes. I have no expectation that you have. So here's our theme. Well, we don't pay for theme music. We license it. And so what we do instead is that When the Saints Come Marching In is out of copyright.
Sure.
And so we just do it with mouth horns. And so you're welcome to join us in doing When the Saints Go Marching In with mouth horns, but we're going to do that in
you go
three,
ahead.
Two, one. Hey everyone, welcome to episode 7 of City Saint and Country Saint after week 6, a very depressing loss on the road to the Houston Texans 20-13. Here in the muck with me, as always, my friend, L. Ron Mexico. Ron, how are you doing?
Terrible. Terrible. I needed another day before I could really... I mean, I'm still in the sadness of that game.
I get it.
I'm doing
it. I wanted to record as soon as possible because we have a really quick turnaround for the Thursday game. We have the, you know, ordinarily I have a week to edit this, but I like to get an episode up before the next game starts. And we play the Jaguars on Thursday. Unclear as we speak whether this will be rejuvenation or just really kicking me while I'm down in a way that I'm not interested in. Are you feeling similarly?
It feels like the latter. Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like we're going to get rejuvenated after that. Because, like, look at this team. We need coaching. We won't have to get in. We'll get into that later. But, yeah, it does not. The vibes now. The vibes are bad today.
Yeah. Right. I ordinarily would be introducing a happy guest. But, unfortunately, Houston's been having some whiplash in their sporting lives after kicking us all around. There have been a bad couple of days over in baseball, but I will welcome our guest who is victorious in the ways that matter, Houston's own Stephanie Stradley. How are you doing, Steph?
I am doing well, but yeah, it's not been good with the Astros, but looking up for the Texans. But, you know, actually the Astros play pretty well in Arlington, so we'll see. I mean, you know, they've had experience doing this, and, you know.
Do Houston and Texas kind of consider themselves rivalries or being in different leagues kind of?
Oh, no. Like, all of Houston hates the Arlington Rangers. All of them.
Good.
All of them. Good. Like, all of them. Right. And right. It hasn't really been a rivalry because the Astros have mostly kicked their ass. So this is... This is what's expected. Mm-hmm. There's high expectations. You know, there's disappointment when they aren't getting their ass kicked. But, you know, there's, you know, there's some more ball to play.
No, I hear it. I'm trying to think of Texas geography. Is Arlington kind of like, is it in between Dallas and Fort Worth, or am I thinking of Irving?
You know, I don't really know because I don't really mess with that part of the world. I mean, it's just not Dallas. You know, like you can go root for Six Flags if you care to. I just am not a big, I don't mess with Dallas. Like I have a family member in Richardson, which is also a burb, but they're just a bunch of places up there that, I don't know, they don't feel like Texas to me as much as the rest of the state does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My little sister lives in Fort Worth.
I like Fort Worth better than I like Dallas proper. I've never been to Arlington, so I can't really say. I mean, they could be great. I understand there's a good Chili's there.
That is beautiful. David Roth got yelled at once for calling Golden Corral the best restaurant in Tulsa.
It might be.
The old good dead spin. Well, it might probably be that they didn't want him to say it. And so are you Houston born and raised?
No. I actually have lived all over the country. My dad was in the Air Force. He retired at age 41 with 7 kids, so he was not really retired. And so he got a job with Exxon. We moved to Houston, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm going to have to, you know, wear boots and a cowboy hat, and, you know, there's going to be tumbleweeds. And I actually do like wearing Western hats, and I do like wearing boots. There's not tumbleweeds here. We have actually a lot of trees, but I like West Texas. Yeah. Like when I moved here, I didn't know really what to expect. And I mean, I absolutely love it. I mean, I just do. I love the people. Mm-hmm. I love how friendly Houston is. I think Houston is the friendliest big city maybe in the whole planet. I mean, I haven't been to all the cities in the planet, but I've been to a lot of the country, and it's just a very welcoming place if you can ignore some of the politicians in this part of the world.
I mean, Houston itself is a pretty liberal city. I know because one of my law school classmates is a state appeals court judge.
Yes.
In Houston.
She's great.
Yeah. She got swept in the wave where every Republican running in the Houston judiciary got blown out. And the reward, of course, is that one of our classmates who lost his appellate race, got put on the state Supreme Court. My reunion was last month, and I literally refused to look Brett Busby in the eye because I am... He was a perfectly pleasant mid-20s nerd, and now I just can't bear to look at him because he still has that plastered-on smile and is part of a reactionary judiciary. And shout out to Sarah Landau on the appeals court, who is a former public defender doing real good
work. I can't say that I really want to talk too much about people's judicial temperament or outcomes, but at the same time,
I'm gonna let you off the hook because you are a fundamentally good person who doesn't well, but that's, look, you play one on TV and you don't want to deal with our Michigas. And so let me instead get back to, since you said you were Oilers and you're Texans now.
Yeah.
How was the whipsaw of losing the Oilers to Tennessee and then getting a new team back? Like, you know,
I don't like to use his name because he's a dead guy and he's, you know, he can't count his money wherever he is in his current situation. When he wanted a new stadium, it was right after we were still paying for renovations to the Dome. And so it was bad timing with oil, bad timing that you just lost two horrible playoff games, you know, like the worst defeat to the Bills, and then you lose to the Joe Montana Chiefs. And then it's like, where's my new stadium? I want I want it my way. And he wasn't getting everything he wanted. He wasn't working very well with the local politicians. So he went behind everybody's back and did a secret deal with Tennessee. And we were pretty much under the understanding we'd never get a team again, that the next team was going to be in Los Angeles. And there was nothing we could do about it because people at the NFL wanted that to happen. But Los Angeles was kind of idiots. And so,
yeah.
I remember the original referendum to try to get new stadiums. And I that's the last time I went door to door with flyers trying to get people to vote for this. But I was
it's so funny.
It's so pure.
I'm so of two minds because I think that public financing for stadiums is among the more grotesque things we do. And at the same time, if I had to live somewhere without a team, I'd probably open a vein.
People of a certain age that are Texan fans were a fan of a different team first, or are still a fan of a team. So we have very weird stories about how we became a fan. But for me, when it looked like we could get a team back, I literally made a promise to God that I would never take this team for granted. And I haven't. I don't break promises with God. So, I mean, maybe that's blasphemy, but I really wanted this to happen. And then that I ended up being a sports writer and a writer
about
other things.
Well, that's what I was
going
to ask about.
That was accidental.
Well, but how did it start? Did you just have a blog?
I mean, a lot of this is, the Texans are the first kind of internet team. All of us kind of got to know each other that way. And then we also had tailgating. So we kind of had our tailgate vector because we like to eat. And then we had our internet vector that, that got us together globally, all different Texans everywhere. And so at first, they launched in 2002. So how did you find your news in 2002? Like real news beyond newspapers, message boards. And the NFL had message boards for most of their teams. And I was on the Texans message board.
What was your handle on the Texans message board in 2000? You do remember.
No,
you
it's remember. It's even beyond that. In the early days, they had these ultimate fan contests. And they go, where's your nickname? And I'm like, we have a new franchise. I don't have a nickname. I'm the Texans chick. I'm that chick that knows about the Texans. So I wrote Texans chick down on this forum. And then people started calling me Texans chick. And then I was Texans chick on this message board because that was the name I picked. And I'll answer to Texans chick if it's respectful. But sometimes people are disrespectful about it and they don't get to use that name. Or sometimes they call me DC. They had a really good Astros blog on the Chronicle. And that was kind of the beginnings of the blog era. And the Chronicle had great blogs. And there was a great Astros blog. There wasn't a Texans only blog. And I'm like, I can do this. And it was right after Kubiak was hired and there was a lot of controversy that they didn't get Reggie Bush or Vince Young. And I'm like, Mario Williams doesn't deserve to be dumped on because he's not these other guys. There's a lot of things that people aren't talking about that I would be interested to hear about. So I just started a blog and it became popular. And then I started writing for other online things. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing was, is when I first started writing, they didn't know I was a lawyer. Because who wants to be, I'm the lawyer, listen to me. That's the worst. I know. But
that's
still
my whole thing.
That's your whole thing.
Your whole thing is listen to me about football because I'm a lawyer?
No,
that,
no,
no. Exactly.
No, it's listen to me about everything.
At some point, I revealed to my editor that I was a lawyer because there was a football player that had something happen to him that was very sketch. Very much looked like a driving while black situation through the whole circumstance of it. People wondered about his availability because that's the important part to a lot of sports fans. And so I just wrote about it in just very descriptive terms. He was followed from the stadium. And the reason they followed him from the stadium is that he looked suspicious in a high crime area, namely his workplace at Energy Stadium. He drove around 610 Loop with this police car following him the whole way. And then he exited and then they pulled him over and then they tased him. So I wrote about it. Actually, eventually they changed the tasing rules in for HPD based on the case. But then over time, there were people asking for explainers. So on one hand, I was writing stuff about football things because that's what I enjoy writing about. sometimes I would write about other stuff because a lot of people would be asking me, like, why is this the way it is? And
all right.
Enough of blah, blah, blah. Lawyer stuff. Like, nobody wants to hear about the lawyer stuff.
Yeah, no, I know. I talk about it. I talk about it a lot, but I do want to actually get to the game.
Yes.
Such as it was.
I don't think that you guys should feel bad about it. I think you should feel more bad that the Texans let the stupid Falcons win.
I do feel really bad that the Texans let the stupid Falcons win.
No, like that shouldn't have happened. Shouldn't have happened. But you know what's interesting is this Texans team is sneaky good because D'Amico Ryans is great.
I didn't think the pass defense was very good. I did think the run defense was very good, very annoying. I think Stroud is for real. Before we get into the details of the game, I would like to invite you to participate in the abasement ritual that we undergo when the Saints lose.
Uh-huh.
We call it get our ass. And so you have between 30 seconds and 2 minutes to just make fun of us over this game. Now, you started in a very positive way.
Well, I mean, you're already getting your own ass because I have done lots of radio, and I have learned that it's much more fun to do previews than post games because nobody wants to hear the post game. Nobody's rational during post games. Like, you could have all the facts in the world and nobody wants to hear it because they're all in their feelings. Like, people say that women are really emotional, but, like, dudes get so in their feelings about stuff. And then you have to wait until, like, right before the next game.
She's saying that because I'm crying.
A little bit.
Getting my ass.
Wait, is this not part of getting your ass is just making fun of you guys for, like...
No, it is.
Oh, this counts. This counts.
I mean, I think the biggest get your ass thing is... I saw some stat that said that this was, like, the most yards gained with, like, the fewest scores. Like, how do you even do that? And as we're watching the game,
we will find a way.
I'm sitting next to my buddy Scott, and we're just kind of noonaning your kicker. Noonan. And that never works. It never works. Noonan. Miss it. Your guy sucks. Yeah. But part of it wasn't your kicker. Like... Do you like kicking on the laces? What is up with that? Like, are you having like some kind of special teams issue where you're like, we need to increase the difficulty of this kick by like every kicker should make those kicks. You should have won.
In our defense, our holder is Australian.
Oh.
he's a new punter, a rookie punter.
Oh, God bless
who
him.
I think is also 32.
Well, I guess is that like
just got
we're
his life
doing
together.
The international thing. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry for him.
No, I mean his punting is okay, but I really am surprised that we made our punter the holder instead of I guess our backup quarterback is Jameis Winston.
And there's always issues with having your backup quarterback being the holder. We had one of our backups back in the day that the kick was too short and they started to return it and he was the first one down. He broke his thumb. Sage Rosenfels, a beautiful man, just a really great guy, but just buzzard's luck. No, like, you know, you should be kind of happy, like in the post Breeze era, sort of. No, I know. There's no hope for you, is there?
Well, our schedule is really soft, but we're 3-3 despite our schedule being soft. So very mixed.
Yeah, and our schedule gets easier. But no, like actually, you guys did pretty good, all things considered. The Texans, the Texans are actually, if you look statistically, a pretty balanced team with one of the best special teams in the league. They've had the best special teams in the league up near the top the last 3 years. Their offense and defense is pretty...
getting our asses going on too long. No.
This is not...
You're not... No.
Well, I'm not getting your ass. I'm just...
Well, you're absolutely not good enough for us to feel good about this. We feel genuinely...
Well, no, you should just feel generally terrible about your whole situation because you had high cotton and you didn't have defense for a million years. Like, you guys are the example to me.
We're reaping the world.
No, no, sure. You're the example to me of like, oh my gosh, what a beautiful offense. Why can't you get a defensive coordinator once in your whole life? The Texans actually a pretty balanced team. Like they're the anti-Saints in a lot of ways. You know, they're not great on offense yet.
Oh, the Saints are balanced.
But they're balanced now. But back in the day, Saints were not. Well, the balance bad.
Yeah.
But no, but like yeah, the back in the day, Saints had like the great offenses and then dog garbage defense.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, to some degree, you're going to see that if you have a very explosive offense, teams against you are going to take more risks than they would otherwise because they have to. But well, that's not explaining just, all of
it's
your defense.
Probably because you're spending the money. It's probably because that's where a lot of the money is too.
Yeah.
Like it's hard to spread the money around to get a balanced team. Can we talk about the very end? Because Ron, what were you thinking? Like we get down, we have two drives in a row where we get down. And I don't know about you, but I was going insane on our last two drives.
It felt so familiar. It was like, oh, we just never been able to punch it in all year. And I didn't have a lot of faith this was going to, you know, go right, you know. And it's the play calling, too.
Yes, 100%. I mean, our second to last drive, right? We get the ball. We need a touchdown to tie. We zip down the field. We get to about the 30 or the 40. And we run Kamara for about seven. We run Kamara for about seven. We run Kamara for about seven. We run him for nothing. We run him for nothing. We throw to him in flat for nothing.
Yeah.
Right? And it's like, did we...
And then miss a field goal.
Just go... Like, I love Kamara. Right. Yeah. And then...
Laces.
Field goal.
Yes.
Out.
Yeah. I love Kamara, but are we seriously running six plays in a row to him? Like,
yeah.
Who's calling this shit?
Yeah. You know? We got Shaheed. Like, we got Olave, Thomas, all these other weapons. Taysom. Yeah.
And he had thrown for 350 yards.
Yes.
He was finding receivers, right? And then after that, we get the stop. The ball comes back to us. We again fly down the field. We're at the 25. And he throws to the end zone four straight times.
Yeah.
And like all of them were timing patterns. And maybe it's not Carr's fault. And maybe the receiver ran the wrong route. Because there was a lot of people making like weird comments after. So maybe the receivers weren't where they were supposed to be. But it 100% felt like Carr actually had time, which he often doesn't because our offensive line has to be one of the worst two units in the league. I don't even mean that glibly. Straight up bad.
Yeah.
And all four of them, he just sort of chucked the ball so the receiver could run under it. Two of them weren't close enough to run under. One of them, the coverage was too tight. And then on the last one, he just threw a sideline pattern where the receiver had absolutely no space.
Yeah.
And he was bodied up anyway, and he picked it off. You know, like I didn't, they're like, they went to review and I'm like, why are you going to review? Who cares?
Yeah, it does not matter at this
Either
point.
He caught it or it's a fourth down failure. Like, don't, you know what? Whatever you want, you can decline the interception.
Yeah.
And just take the ball and run out the clock.
Does not change it. So frustrating.
I was just going to say, if you're just looking at generalized stats throughout the league, red zone is bad this year. Like, everybody's bad in the red zone. There's very few teams that are money in the red zone this year, and nobody completely understands why. I also think that if you can find me a team in the league that's happy with their offensive line right now, I don't know which teams those are. There's not many. The reason why this is a very weird year to bet on teams and survivor pools and all that is, you know, I think that the shorter preseasons are hard on teams. I think there's not 32 quarterbacks right now. there's not 32 productive schemes right now.
But I will say we have Trevor Penning was our first round pick last year and then got hurt in the first preseason game, missed the whole season. And this year he just got benched. He got benched until James Hurst, who was a backup last year and it was noticeably worse every time he came in the game, started, got hurt early. Penning is back in the game. McCoy and Ramczyk were great the last few years. Neither of them look particularly good this year. I think Ramchick's numbers are still decent, but he keeps getting dinged up. You know, our line is just Pete keeps getting hurt. It's just makeshift. You know, we're playing guys like Max Garcia, who is really bad. And this is coming from a franchise that had a lot of really good offensive lines.
Well, and the hardest thing for offensive line is A, staying healthy, for because, you know, they're on the field the whole time with the offense. And they're obviously, you know, if you're a really good big guy, you're playing defensive line. So the offensive linemen are, they're at a disadvantage. Like a lot of the offenses these days have to do all the misdirection because defensive linemen by nature are more athletic than the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And I really think that as a Houston Texans fan and writer, I try not to say that I'm a bad football expert. I want to say that I'm an expert on bad football. And as an expert on bad football, and like we're, you know, like ESPN had a whole commercial dedicated to the illusion that David Carr did not have an offensive line. And the real story on that was a lot of it's on the quarterback. A lot of it's on the scheme. A lot of it is on the offensive line coaching to develop the guys that they get. And then a lot of it is just luck. Like, you don't want your offensive linemen hurt at the wrong time. Like, so if you're hurt at the beginning of the season or in the it just pushes your development back.
I will tell you, I'm very frustrated with Carr because I think our offensive line was as bad as it was. Right now, there are a bunch of injuries, but the first 2 weeks, it was just really a horror show, right? And we won both of those games, I think, somehow, but it, like, the line was awful, and we weren't scoring points. We just were playing, you know, we beat Tennessee by a point.
Thank you.
And then I think we squeaked one out against, and then we squeaked one out against Carolina. But I think it has sped up Derek Carr's clock to the point where he only looks for Thomas, his number one option on whatever the play is, or the tight end. I do not recall more than a pass or two going to our number three or number four receivers in like any weeks. Like, I think Kirkwood might have two catches on the season. You know, I don't remember. It's bad. You know, he's got Shahid and Olave, who can both get down the field and both have really good hands. He's got Michael Thomas, who's great. And the number four guy is literally invisible. And no one should be that invisible. You know, we've played six games. And we're getting nothing that far, even like desperation stuff, you know? And that's the person who's being guarded by a linebacker.
I hate to say it, but, you know, if the previous location of where he's at kind of took him out like he was the trash.
Yeah. Yep. I will say, I always thought that Sean Payton's defenses were fun because they gave up a million yards and then would get really tight in the red zone. So they gave up a million yards and a million field goals, but the offense was scoring so much. Like, what was frustrating, it's like, you guys are really well rested. Shouldn't we be doing better? You know, our offense is on the field the whole time. But I didn't hate those defenses. I always thought they were bad. Even when people said they were good, I was like, no, no, I watch them every week. They're secretly really bad and really high variance. Like the seasons when we were good, it was because we got a lot of turnovers. Yeah. And the seasons when it looked really bad, which are just mostly chance.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. When
we had low turnover seasons, we give up a million.
I've come around on turnover chance. Like, I understand the statistical, like, you know, there is some turnover luck and all that. But I do think that those are coachable skills. And the teams that...
Some of them are, punching out the ball and...
And how, like, secondary players are supposed to play guys under the current rules. Like, I really do... And you know, just the way that you tackle and all that. I do think that those are skills that, like, do you need to, like, be lucky to be able to, like, jump on the ball and all that? Yeah. But I do think it is a skill.
No. It's not that there's no skill to it. I just think that at the macro level, the skill is just sort of dwarfed
all the other stuff.
Chance, you know? Like, because it's, you know, whether you knock a ball away or pick it off is difference of just like...
Well, can we go back to the Saints game with that? The coachable point. So C.J. Stroud gives up his first interception early in the game at a key spot, and a guy not used to having the ball has the ball. As a teaching point, the Texans offense is supposed to try to get that ball back by hook or by crook, and they did. And, you know, is it going to happen every time? No. But if you make it a teachable skill where that happens every single time, it will come up at least once during a season. The bigger point is like, if you keep on coaching a particular detail, at some point in the season, detail's going to pop up. Well, it isn't, of course, because there are some coaches who really should not be coaching in the NFL. And I'm not going to name names, but like every once in a while, like, I am not. But
give,
I will.
Give us a name.
No,
name
three names.
Give us three
names. No, they're all retired because they aren't good at their jobs.
Okay, so that's even better.
No, they have families and whatever. They worked really hard and they tried.
How did we book this person?
I know, I'm too nice about this. Because I don't want people cracking on me. But like, I will tell you.
Because I'm about to be real mean. Because the person who Nico Collins stripped was Zach Bourne. Yes. Who we drafted like 3 or 4 years ago in the third round. Mm-hmm. And he had what I would consider season tickets, but not much in the way of sweating underneath his pads. A lot of practice, maybe not practice squad time, but a third round pick whose entire career seemed to be special teams. And he finally breaks into the lineup this year. He makes what I consider the first play he's ever made outside of the preseason. And the high of it lasted 1.8 seconds.
But if he was an offensive player, he would be playing offense. That's just how it works. I mean, I think...
No. But what I mean is... Get down.
Well, I don't know about get down.
You know, you don't have to run in traffic as a, you know, it's not like he caught it and Nico Collins popped it out. He returned it basically back to the line of scrimmage and then it got stripped.
Yeah. You know? You just have to hold on. So, like, and that's also a teachable thing.
Right.
I mean, I think.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that was the crowning moment of his career. And he drove it off a cliff.
My view on this thing is I usually don't crack the individual players for, like, I don't overpraise either. Like, I don't really crack the individual players for, like, being sorry. Like, my thought is, if a guy is playing and he's sorry, that's on the coaching staff for deciding that that's the guy that needs to be on the field. Like if a guy is an NFL player on the field, he's supposed to be an NFL player on the field. And if he doesn't look like it, that's on the coaching staff. Like you should have got somebody else.
Stephanie, that's all well.
It's true. Agreed, it's true.
I'm going to keep making fun of Zach.
Do not.
Look, I already mailed poop to his house. So There's no turning back the clock. Don't worry, Zach. If you listen to this, you're one of very few.
Or his family.
You know what? I am sometimes sympathetic to that, but I will be honest. I am a comedian at heart, and I believe that if you are even remotely a public figure, I can't be bothered to worry about your family being concerned that you're being made fun of. That's just sort of part of the deal.
See, now my comedian at heart self is always, I try to figure out how can I be funny about something without betraying my heart.
Oh, I have like a very black heart. I dodge that issue.
See, now, and the other part for me is I go to training camp. I see these people in their faces. So, and I am not a coward. So I don't say stuff I wouldn't say to a gigantic gentleman's face. Like, oh, I am this lady in this room that's saying bad things about your work in without having all the information.
Well, I'll be
and
honest.
And then the other part about this is I've actually got to know some of the players' families. And you know what they tell me? They tell me is like, you know what? It's really hard to find out what's happening with my son. But when I read the stuff that you write, it makes a lot of sense to me. And it's something that I can read without you saying stuff out of your ass that you don't know. Don't talk out of my
and
ass.
And if Zach Bond's mom hears that I say that he is an embarrassment to his draft position, that is just how it has to go. No, here's my feeling is I would definitely not say any of this to Zach Bond's face. But if he were to find out about it and confront me, I would plead for my life.
That is fair. That is very fair.
And even if you mailed him poop, Charles, there's like only a 50-50 chance he's going to get it in New Orleans because the mail situation is pretty screwed up, you know. The bad thing is if he gets the poop, he'll probably have to wait a month or two to throw it away because the garbage collection system is also messed up. So you're probably
What I would suggest to you, what I would suggest to you is not your lawyer, but just a friend. Do not violate the law involving the U.S. mail because that's federal charges you can't.
I know.
You cannot fight the feds because they have our money.
And I've heard that the postal police are like the rare
serious
police agency. Yeah. So, no, I look. Dear.
Is it even legal,
Mr.
To mail
DeJoy?
Poop? I think it's legal.
There's no way it's legal to mail poop to anyone except for Coligard. Mr. DeJoy,
deep cut.
Mr. DeJoy, let me be clear that I did not mail poop to Zach Bond because I could not figure out how many forever stamps that is.
I think it's two. You get it?
Right, I don't know,
Charles.
I eat.
Somebody's gonna hear this now. Yeah, somebody's going to hear this and then mail poop to him because they know that you're going to get blamed anyway. So now it's like it's free reign on mailing poop to Zach Bond because you already put it out there in the universe.
Oh, please don't.
That's true. Yeah. I just
you made the joke.
I just jumped into the neutral zone. And
it's a conspiracy. Yeah.
It's a free play. Yeah.
It's Rico. Yeah,
it's a free play.
Poop Rico.
Poop Rico. Zach Bond's gonna
believe
18 pieces of poop.
I can't believe it. That is an actual very high percentage of our listeners abusing the U.S. Postal Service.
Do not.
As a lawyer, I also have to recommend not doing this and definitely not putting my name in the return address. So I'm trying to think about what else I can take away from this game because the things that frustrated me were, you know, the first kick that Groupie missed, I tolerated. You know, it's 52 yards.
No, you should not have touched. No.
52 yards. No, no. You know, like you can miss a 52-yard kick. He hit two of them.
It's indoors.
Week. Yeah, he hit two from 50 last week. But he's on borrowed time because he missed a kick to win the Green Bay game. So he's already like
the whole, you got to look at the whole operation. And I can't say that from the seventh row of where I was sitting that we got the laces situation sorted. It didn't look like the laces were right.
So that was, I mean, that was bad. And then he missed from 20 something and I just threw up my hands. But it was a really bad day for kickers around the league. You know, the 49ers rookie missed one. The Eagles missed one before Jalen Hurts threw the most insane interception of all time to honk that game. But, you know, their kicker had missed a field goal to give, you know, the Jets field position that they didn't take advantage of.
There's the fan in me that was before I started writing, and then there's the fan in me that has spent way too much time with football people. And any time that you're looking at the kicking game, you have to look at the whole operation. The guy that has been with the Texans the longest is John Weeks, the long snapper.
Oh, our He's long an amazing snapper person. Too. Our long snapper has and been long, forever.
And long snappers, you know, like you don't want to know their names really. We know his name because he's absolutely cool and very good at his job. But it is very interesting to me how personalizing it can be to kind of see the bigger picture. Like, you know, there's always kind of like the guys that everybody in a fan base does not like. You know, like, oh, well, this guy is, you know, the person this year that we blame everything on. And when you talk to those individuals, sometimes they just should not have been getting that much playing time, that many snaps. Like they're being pushed into snaps that they should not be getting if they had a better option for that job.
You're too close. You're too close.
You, I am not too close. See them I as have human to say,
beings.
Yeah, human. Imagine that.
But like, that's I have the to downfall say, of real sports anger yeah. is once you understand well, those yeah. people. You have to kill that part of yourself.
It makes it wonderful.
Of course. I don't know if there's anything else to say because everything else about the game is just depressing.
Now, who's your next matchup again?
The Jags on Thursday.
Jacksonville.
Okay, so the Texans beat the crap out of the Jags.
And Lawrence might be hurt.
Yes. They have decent coaching, but they've been having some injuries. And with Lawrence being down, that's something else. And, you know, really, you know, I know that there are some people listening who go, oh, well, the Texans of last year, they're dog crap. But like this is actually a good Texans team that beat the crap out of the Jags and beat the crap out of the Steelers. Mm-hmm. So that it came down to the last play of the game is actually a positive for you guys.
Yeah, I mean...
and beat the Jags. Please beat the Jags. I'll
do what I can.
Yeah. You personally.
Yes.
Both of you.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm gonna galooly Trevor's knee and make sure that we face CJ Beathard.
Yeah.
That is a threat on par with mailing poop, by the way. Trevor Lawrence, who looks like, you know, from a distance, he looks like, you know, just some beach bum. But I bet up close, he's like 6'4" and could snap me like a twig like all of these guys. But CJ Beathard is who I want to see on Thursday more than anything else.
But the weird part is all these Thursday games are such crap. The players don't start feeling better until after the Thursday.
That's right.
And they don't get their regular practice in. So most of the Thursday night games are garbage. I'm just hoping that the garbage works on your behalf. Yes. Like I don't hate the Jags because I like a lot of their fans and they're kind of fun.
And you're a fundamentally nice person. I don't get it.
No, I loathe the Titans for all the reasons that I should, because they are thieving bad people.
We had to get to
and
a
then
point
the Colts.
Where you let the hate flow through you, you know.
Okay, Colts, and Titans are stolen teams.
True.
That are cursed and should never have good things happen to them. Particularly the Titans, who are going to wear the Love You Blue uniforms this year, even though Love You Blue is a distinctly Houston phenomena. And it just shows the trash vulgarity that is everything about that franchise.
You take that,
and I
Jesse
have personally cursed them.
Yes.
I have personally cursed them for damaging my youth. Like, seriously, when the Oilers left, that was worse than any breakup I ever had with a dude.
I hear.
Which
it.
Is pretty bad. Like, that was bad.
I hear.
And now the Colts, I just don't like Colts fans because they always thought that, like, ooh, we know football better than you because Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck were our quarterbacks. Well, no, it just means that you had good quarterbacks because you lucked into good quarterbacks. Yeah. And now I hope that you have garbage quarterback play and garbage team forever and ever. So you know what it feels like to have a quarterback put up a bunch of points on your defenseless secondary in the fourth quarter.
See, this
and
is what I want
to
hear.
All the stats.
This is yeah. You see, this is the spirit.
See,
of
I don't
the
have any hate for the Saints.
No, I get
I love
that.
I love
I
New Orleans.
That. But you know, this is better. This is better than, you know, empathy.
Yeah.
Empathy is for church. This is a place for hate.
I don't have any empathy for people who betray their hometowns for cash.
That's fair.
And, you know, and flip the bird off at people and we're the cheapest human beings ever.
All right.
And just have nothing good to be said about them whatsoever. Mm. Is that
That's
sufficiently...
Perfect.
We could join our hate for the Cowboys. How about, can we say hateful things about the Cowboys? I have no idea.
We can.
Because.
Hate the Cowboys.
All right. They
have no humor.
That is a good way to close. I am going to ask Ron if he has any closing thoughts on the game, which frankly would also be his opening thoughts on the game. Ron.
We just had no rhythm. We had no beat because of our play calling. Like, when you start gaining momentum, he doesn't know what to call next to keep it going, to keep it alive. It just feels like there's no heartbeat, you know, into that offense. Carmichael, he's all screwed up. He got to do something. I don't think you can change that in the middle of the season. Other thoughts? This is a weird thought I had. This is strange.
Yeah.
We got our third string quarterback, right?
Okay.
And he's coming back, I think, next week? Okay, he's a weird guy. He was suspended for PEDs. I think he's the kind of guy...
Rookie out of Fresno State, Jake Haener.
From what I saw in the preseason, he's not good, but he's the kind of good that maybe could work with this, like, no-rhythm-ass offense because he can make plays with his feet. It's a weird thing. I'd literally like to see him. I'm at the point in the season where, like, throw the third string guy in there, like week seven. Just see what happens. Like, I think that's just a weird take because I don't think he would the kind of game
that
he plays.
Definitely a weird take.
Yeah, the kind of game he plays.
Wait,
I want to see what he does.
Are you drinking?
I was.
Are you drinking?
It's empty now.
I mean, I think that's a fair question for a Saints
fan. It's empty now. But he had arm strength. Maybe that was the PEDs. Yeah,
I know, right? Now he's going to come back looking like, you know, he's going to have, like, the flowers for Algernon, but for his arms.
Like, yeah.
Ooh, deep cut.
Yeah.
I always trust, like, none of my deep cuts are going on. I'm not Dennis Miller. I'm not trying to go over anyone's head. I have respect for everyone who listens to me. And so you skip Jameis entirely and go to
Jay
Haener.
We know what that looks like.
But I don't want to see Jameis.
No, they're both statues back there.
Well, that's why I asked about the drinking.
Yeah.
It is bad when you're in week six and you're like, you know who I want to see?
Is
the fifth round rookie out of Fresno State who has missed 6 weeks of practice because he's not allowed in the facility.
But he can make plays with his feet where the other guys are just statues back there. With that line and that no rhythm stuff, he can make his own rhythm. He might, I mean, maybe not. I mean, probably not. But at this point, I'm just like, you know, if I saw him for a quarter, I'm just kind of interested. I'm just kind of interested under this kind of offense.
This is not even a lottery ticket, buying a lottery. This is a lottery ticket you just fished out of the can.
The trash. People
toss their lottery tickets. Look, we got...
Yes. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at this point. That's how frustrated I am.
I have no more thoughts. I still think I may come down for week 17, though. I think we're planning. We are possibly planning a city, saint, country, saint meetup in week 17 against the Falcons. That'll be awesome.
Yes.
You should have come this last weekend. I thought it might kill me. We had such a fun time. We had Frito pie etouffee.
Oh wow.
From like not us, our next neighbor over tailgate had it. We had homemade egg rolls. We had breakfast tacos. We had homemade meatballs. I made my Irish whiskey cake because Jameson sent me a free bottle. I had never tried it with Jameson, and it actually is very good. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Jameson Whiskey, for sending me.
It's good because they and Microsoft are actually our sponsors.
Really? Seriously?
No.
They should. No, they should be.
I don't even know if I could leave that in or if they'll sue me just for mentioning them and casting negative on their brand.
Well, all I can say is the Saints fans were super fun. The food was really good. The after tailgate was really good. Even the Saints fans were pretty fun with it. And then we drove to the Astros game, and then Astroing ensuing, and that game wasn't that great, but we had a fun time anyway. So, and the pregame and the postgame of that was pretty good. And you know, I've been training for October, and I had the Saints game circled because you guys are, you know, kin.
That's good to hear. All right. Thank you so much, Steph. Where can people find your writing these days?
You can find it at the Chronicle or cron.com. If you type in Steph Stradley and Texans, that usually pops up. Or if you Google any version of my name, Stephanie Stradley or Steph Stradley, it will take you to my blog on my legal website, where I put the things that the man can't destroy because I own it and I control it. So I moderate it and I can put whatever I want there.
Fantastic. So there will be a picture of my package to Zach Bourne. So thank you, Steph, for doing the show.
Thank you,
Ron. The last thing I am going to say is that the Saints' last three drives were 11 plays, 7 plays, and 14 plays. That was a missed field goal, a turnover on downs, and an interception. And what that means is that we go out with sad horns this week.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to City Saint and Country Saint. I'm Charles Starr.